I think that mindfulness is kind of still an ambiguous term, but really it's just the mental training that kind of allows us to see clearly, allows us to get out of our mental space and back into what's actually happening around us. So it definitely promotes a lot of a personal sustainability because you're no longer wasting all this energy on, you know, rumination and future planning and past thinking and all of the stuff that we normally spend our mental energy on. But then out of that, you also drop into this interconnectedness that is underneath all of the stories. You know, once you drop underneath the stories that you've been telling yourself, you realize that you are much more similar to everyone else than you could possibly imagine.
Hello and welcome again to the Sustainability Podcast, where we drink tea and talk about sustainable projects. I'm Tanner with the Office of Sustainability, and I'm here today with Carrie, who is the president of the Mindfulness Club on campus. Are you ready for some tea facts?
Yes.
So today we're drinking ginger tea, and ginger is a root that comes from a flower. And a lot of the world's ginger comes from China and India, and it's an important part of their diet. It's also used in ancient Chinese medicine in Ayurveda, which is Indian medicine. And there's even an Indian proverb that states, everything good is found in ginger, which I think is kind of neat.
That's neat.
And it has a lot of vitamin C and amino acids, and then there's also trace elements like calcium and zinc and sodium and phosphorus and a bunch of other stuff. So it can help your body absorb nutrients and alleviate pain. It improves digestion, relieves stress, reduces inflammation, it can strengthen immunity, and basically it does all the things.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right? And it probably, they say it likely originates from India and like Southern Asia, and that's still where like most of it comes from. And the word ginger comes from Sanskrit, which means shaped like a horn, which refers to the flower, which I think is interesting because you usually think of just the root.
Right.
And it's just been used pretty much all across the world since like trade started. And there was like, I think a while in the Middle Ages where people, it became like really important and like really expensive and everybody wanted ginger because it was like a rare thing. And,
wow.
And now we're drinking
it
today.
We're drinking it. Thank God.
Yeah. So now if you're, you know, having some inflammation
right.
or something, you can drink
perfect.
Tea. I kind of wanted to have the ginger candy too today, but I couldn't find any.
You know, the tea is perfect. It's warm.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about you.
Great.
So what is your major?
My major is biochemistry.
Okay. Why did you pick that?
I picked that. I thought I was going to go to med school for most of my undergrad, and that seemed like the normal path to take. I was definitely for a while confused about what I liked to do and what I liked being good at, and I was just happened to be good at chemistry, so it made sense, and I was really into it. I was into being good at it.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm finding out that there's a big difference between what you like to be good at and what you actually like to do.
Hmm. So. And you're the president of the Mindfulness Club. Did you start it?
So there's actually two separate initiatives happening. The Mindfulness Initiative is a faculty student group that meets and discusses different aspects of the mindfulness practice and how it can be implemented on campus. And then we also have a meditation club, which meets every week and does a different meditation practice. So I was involved in starting up the meditation club, which just got approved as an official club last semester. So yes, it was so cool. And we are building our student base and faculty base. Really, it's open to everyone. We're really hoping to just kind of build an awareness about what this practice is, you know, how it can be implemented into a normal college lifestyle. And normalize it and make it not so, you know, woo-woo-y. We still look at it like the Eastern strange medicine practices, but it is really gaining a lot of popularity here, so.
Yeah, they brought us ginger.
Exactly.
So how did you get involved, like, specifically with the meditation club?
I guess I got involved with the practice through my yoga practice.
Okay.
And then I took Dr. Swickert's positive psychology course, and she was the kind of leading force for this club. So she reached out to students that were interested in it, and we kind of helped her build it from the ground up. But she was definitely the driving force behind this, and I would highly recommend her class, Positive Psychology. It's a really cool class, and she's great.
It always fills up really fast.
It does. It really does.
So what about today? What are you doing today?
Today I'm a panelist on the Social Justice Coffee Hour, and it's all about mindfulness and environmental justice. So yeah, I'm really excited. Hoping to speak a lot about my personal experience with mindfulness and how it relates to, you know, personal sustainability and how it promotes a general interconnectedness between us. So,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then what about Peace Week for next week?
Yes. So next week is our first ever, CFC's first ever Peace Week initiative, which we have a big group of lectures throughout all the days of the week. And they're all revolving around this concept of peace. And that's pretty ambiguous to state, but we really want to talk about how our driving force behind it is the idea that peace in the world begins with peace in the self. And it's extremely difficult to cultivate peace on a societal level if we can't cultivate that within ourselves. So we're talking from an interdisciplinary standpoint, different social issues, different environmental issues, and political issues, how they can be resolved through focusing on this idea of personal peace and peace between people.
So is personal peace kind of like mindfulness?
Definitely. I think that mindfulness is probably the biggest pathway to gain that personal peace. That is definitely what you gain through this practice. And I think that mindfulness is kind of still an ambiguous term, and it's almost getting trendy in our society now. Like, what are they? Some kind of nut I just saw at the supermarket is now like the mindful nut. It's so interesting. I'm like, what does that even mean, the mindful nut? But really it's just the mental training that kind of allows us to see clearly, allows us to get out of our mental space and back into what's actually happening around us. So it definitely promotes a lot of the personal sustainability, because you're no longer wasting all this energy on, you know, rumination and future planning and past thinking and all of the stuff that we normally spend our mental energy on. But then out of that, you also drop into this interconnectedness that is underneath all of the stories. You know, once you drop underneath the stories that you've been telling yourself, you realize that you are much more similar to everyone else than you could possibly imagine. So through that peace, you know, peace of mind, but then peace between people. So it's kind of, they kind of affect each other. I mean, they definitely affect each other.
So how has mindfulness affected, like, your personal life?
Yeah, I mean, it's drastically changed my personal life. For a while, I was struggling with so much anxiety and a lot of mental health problems, and I really thought that I was just doing something wrong in my external world. You know, if I could just get better grades or lose a little bit of weight or make more friends or be better, then I would be happier. But really, a lot of what this practice shows you is that that's just an endless treadmill, that once you get on, if you keep running, you're just going to tire yourself out, and that's really all you get. So the practice has really allowed me to step off that endless treadmill and just drop into a lot more acceptance about where I am in life and who I am in life and what's happening around me. And I have such a better relationship with myself. I have such a better relationship with the people around me. I feel so much more confident about just what I'm doing, and I need so much less validation from the external world, that everything just feels so much easier. It's really magical.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So how would you suggest somebody else could incorporate that into their life, especially, you know, everyone's busy and
right,
tired? And
definitely. I mean, it definitely takes an intention to do something for yourself. There has to be that intention that you want something to change in your life, and unfortunately a lot of times that comes from being in a really dark spot. So that's kind of my mission, is that I don't think people need to get into that dark spot to start incorporating these practices into their lives. And it can be little things. You don't have to you really don't even have to start a diligent meditation practice. It can just be taking 5 minutes out of your day to focus on your breath, or it can be starting to notice how you revert to scrolling through your phone when you're feeling uncomfortable, or, you know, how often you are conversing with someone and you're thinking in your head about how you can promote your story or what you need to respond to them, instead of just providing space for them and listening to them and being open to things that you don't always control. So there's tons of little ways that you can start incorporating it. And there's really so much literature out there, and I would really recommend just looking into the literature. I mean, these practices are older than really any modern medical practices. So there's so much out there. There's so many people willing to help you once you start. Once you make that intention to do it for yourself, there really is so many people willing to help you. So it's great.
So how can someone incorporate that into sustainability? Like, how could we use that here at the office?
Yeah, I mean, when you start to drop out of the stories, everything becomes easier in a way that you're not following all these strict rules. And a lot of times when we think about sustainability, there are these rules, these logical rules that we know we should be following. You know, everyone should be using a reusable water bottle. Like, that seems so obvious, but when you're so caught up in these stories, nothing is obvious. Everything is just mental activity. So when you do start to drop into this more peaceful being, everything just comes easier. You know, it just makes more sense to use a reusable water bottle, and you're just not eating as unhealthy because you're more connected to your body, and you're treating people with more kindness because you recognize how that reflects on your own well-being. So it's definitely a passive technique in order to bring out things that we can logically say are rational, but you start to drop into this wisdom that's, you know, deeper than your rational thought. So it does start with relaxing your mental activity and then acting from that place.
Okay, so it's basically like you help yourself and work on yourself so that you can actually be helpful for
exactly
others.
Exactly. And I mean, we hear that all the time. You can't be a benefit to society or to the people around you if you're so stressed and you're so, you know, busy all the time mentally, and you're so caught up in your own thoughts and fears and whatnot. So it definitely does start with that commitment to yourself and commitment to your own personal sustainability, and then what comes out of that is just an inevitable connection with everyone else and an inevitable feeling that we are connected and we can sustain this planet.
That's really nice. I think that's good.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah,
thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right, and thanks so much for listening. We do new podcasts every Thursday, and you can find those at synergies.cfc.edu.